Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This morning, I'm excited to share. For those that don't know, I'm Associate Pastor Brock Williamson. Most of you know. So I have the wonderful opportunity of preaching this morning, and I love to preach. I love to be here on a Sunday to speak. And this morning's message, I feel confident in it being for all of us. But it starts with a story, a personal story. And before you get upset that I'm going to share a personal story, you were just singing a song that said, "By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony." So here's some testimony for you, okay? Don't get mad, you were just singing it, okay? And sorry, there's no Greek breakdown in this story, okay? This story was in English, as it is a personal story. I don't know Greek. It was a few weeks ago, something like that. Me and my wife were at home. The story really starts like a week before that when I was having a conversation with my cousin out in Utah, and we were talking about it. I don't know what it was, but we were like, you know, for some reason, I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys. Don't judge me, all right? That's not what church is about. But I was like, for some reason, it is so awkward for me to lead my wife in a Bible study. I don't know why. It's so awkward for me to sit down with my wife, let's open our Bibles, and let's do a Bible study. A lot of judgment in the room, and I said, don't do that, okay? I know, I'm a pastor. You'd think that this is just, it's not that easy for me. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm still young in the marriage and just talking about it, like, getting better, okay? It's not like we never talk about the Lord. I'm just saying, doing that, hey, we're having devotional time, sit down. So one night, I was like, hey, we're going to do this. And so jump on YouVersion, because they make it pretty easy. So find a plan. I picked one, invited her to it. We sit down. And I don't know if Naomi had too much sugar that night or caffeine or something. But as we were wrapping up the devotional and it's time to like share your thoughts, right, and go through the whole thing, I'm trying to be vulnerable, right? And I'm trying to share with her some things. And she is just being a little troll. She's just like, she's laughing, giggling, doing this. And I'm like, I'm being serious right now, and you are joking around, and I don't appreciate it. Which then obviously led to we're having a different kind of devotional, if you know what I mean. But no, it wasn't really that bad, but it was definitely like, okay. Which then, of course, how many of you do this? Anytime you try something one time and it doesn't go well, never doing that again. You've been there, you've done it, don't lie, okay? So it was, I didn't say that to myself, but I'll tell you what, it didn't become a priority the next day. And about a week went by without it being a priority. And then the power went out in our neighborhood. Not just our little, like, I don't know who all got affected by it, but like Walmart and over, like, and not across 16, of course, you know, the fancy neighborhood, Justin. But those of us whose houses are from the 70s, you know, our power was out in that neighborhood over there. So we're, you know, I grab a notebook, which took me forever to find one because I'm particular about notebooks. If I wrote even one word about a subject in that notebook, it can never be used again except for that subject. I have to get a brand new notebook before I can write about something else. So I have hundreds of notebooks, basically. And if I want to change it, I have to rip out all those pages and throw them away, and then I can write in the notebook. I don't know why. There's probably a psychological thing wrong. So, remember, we are going to get to Scripture today. Just, okay? So I'm sitting there, and I'm going to write down in a notebook some thoughts, different things, plans, goals. I love to think about that stuff. I'm a productive procrastinator. I like to write about them and then never do them. Here's the budget. Yeah. A day later, what budget? You spent how much? at Walmart? No. But yeah, I'm a little goofy. So we're sitting there, and then Naomi brings up, and she's like, maybe we should try to do the devotional. And I'm like, oh, dear. I'm like, how much sugar did you have today? No. But I was like, okay. And then we had the discussion, and part of the problem was is the devotional that I had picked, it was like, it just didn't feel relevant to her. So she didn't feel the relevance of it, and then I was, so okay. All right, let's pick a new one then. But that's like picking a place to go to eat. You pick one. I don't like that one. Well, then tell me which one you want. No, you pick. So, preach. Hey, don't worry, men. Our time is coming later in the message. Yeah, it's I'm not trying to throw Naomi under the bus. She's actually the hero of my life, the MVP, and keeps me on the straight and narrow in a lot of different ways, as you'll learn through this, because she was obedient to the voice of the Lord to say, let's do this Bible study, and so we picked a new one. And of course, you know, Craig Groeschel, yeah, can't go wrong with that guy, you know. So we doing the study, and we get talking about it, and pretty soon when it comes down to reading through it, I'm starting to have, like, the motor starts turning. I'm like, oh, interesting. And then it gets to the let's share portion. Well, that turned into I'm sitting there on the couch like this. Naomi's, you know, laying on the couch next to me, and I'm just having a therapy session. I started to have this revelation of all this stuff that I do. That I'm like, my behavior, my attitude that has infiltrated my faith, and then my faith has turned into this, and how I act is like this, and what I do is like this. Some of you that were there on a Wednesday when I shared this story, I shared the quick version, as you can tell. Wednesday it was not like this, but there's going to be more to this message today than what I shared on the Wednesday, so just keep that in mind. Don't tune me out yet, but I told Naomi, I was like, this is like top three revelations of all time. Like, this is phenomenal. And I was like, I got to write this down. This is going to be a sermon. And she's like, well, make sure it takes root in you first there, buddy. Like, hey, this was your revelation. It's not just, oh, something cool happened. That's a sermon. But so, okay, I was like, yeah, but I got to write it down or I'll forget, you know. But this revelation that I had was, you know, and it was funny because I was able to share it with Naomi and she was like, yeah, you do that. And then I started to remember back to when I was a young lad living at my dad's house. Not just as a teenager, but when I went to college, then didn't go back to college and moved back in with my parents. And I started remembering, wow, I used to do that a lot. My dad would come to me and he'd start a sentence and I'd be like, I know, don't worry about it. I know what you're going to say. Don't hassle me. Quit hassling me. I get it. I understand. I know what you're going to say. It got to the point where I shared this revelation with my dad, and he's like, yeah, that's why I just quit trying to tell you stuff. Because you'd always be like, oh, I know. And I do that to Naomi now. This was all part of the revelation. I'm like, oh my goodness, what am I doing? So come to me and be like, yeah, so that paint downstairs, yep, I know, I'm going to finish it, don't worry. Yep, I got it. That's not even what I was going to say. Because she hasn't learned yet to just quit. No, I'm just kidding. Don't ever quit, please, babe. But then it turns into, oh, gotcha, my bad, okay. But this revelation was how often I do that to God. Like, the Holy Spirit comes in with some sort of conviction, and then my mind is, oh, yep, I know, I got it covered, I'll take care of it, I'll do it, because I know your word, I know that I'm not supposed to sin, I know that I'm not supposed to do this, I know I'm not supposed to do this, so I got it, don't worry about it, I got it, instead of letting God finish his sentence. I just interrupt, oh, I know, but then part of the attitude of that is, I know, I can do it myself. I can figure this out, I know the word, I know the Bible. I know what it says to not do that. I know I'll take care of it. The Bible's pretty clear that we can't. But in that moment, I started having this revelation. I was like, I can't remember. This is the part that actually hit me so hard that night that I was like, I just want to lay here and cry. I know, manly. But it was, I couldn't remember back to a day where I didn't view it that way. I couldn't remember back to a time in my life where I was like, oh yeah, I let the Lord finish his sentence and this is what I would do. I couldn't remember back. I was like, I've been acting like this for how long? And I was like, babe, you know what? This is probably why the power went out tonight. It's so that I would learn this. And then I was like, you know what? Wait a minute. This is probably why I moved to associate pastor. The Lord knew that it would bring me to this moment. I was like, you know what? That's probably why the years of anxiety and depression and the struggle of me trying to do it on my own and saying, God, I know what your word says. I got it. All of that struggle led me to that moment on September whatever. I'm not one of the people that remembers dates, okay? I could probably look in the notes when I wrote it, actually. But anyway. September whatever, when the power went out and my wife was obedient to God, that's why you pick a good one, by the way. They'll save you. That moment right there, that minute, and I told Naomi, I was like, that is probably what we all went through, everything, every part of it, everything that I went through over how many years now of mental struggle is because I kept telling God, I know, and I'm going to do it. Don't worry, I got it. I know. Cutting him off mid-sentence. I said, that's probably why this even happened tonight, is so I'd have this revelation. And as soon as I said shun, boom, power went back on. And I'll tell you what, I probably don't have the text messages anymore, but the power company had texted me saying it wouldn't be on till, from that moment when it did go back on, it wouldn't be back on until 4 hours later. So it came on early. It's amazing when you let him finish his sentence, the power that will come into your life. The power will come back on. Because how much of this is letting God finish his sentence, finish his work, instead of saying, I know, I got it, I know your word, I got it, don't worry. And, you know, there could be a plethora of reasons why we do it. It could have something to do with the way I was raised. I don't know. Not that I'm blaming my parents, because half the time they were doing the right thing. I didn't receive it well. That's on me. And as I grow older, the more I see that. I'm like, wow, back when I thought my parents were doing the wrong thing, they were actually doing the right thing. I was just a jackknob. Anyway, but just being honest, come on, you know. You've been there. Okay. But yeah, this revelation, the things that clicked, that hit, that turned on, that boom. And all of a sudden, for me that night, the sentence that was finished, you know, was just, Brock, the sin in your life, the struggles in your life that you keep saying that you know the word, and you know what the word is. You know the repercussions and this and that. And I thought he was, you know, hey, Brock, you're doing this sin in your life. You need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. That's what, that was, okay, I know. He's like, that's not what I'm going to say. Just let me love you. That was the sentence for me that night was, Brock, just let me love you. Because from that relationship, then things start to transform and change. It's not from just, oh, I know, I got it. Like, give me the instructions, I'm not going to learn a thing. But if somebody comes alongside me and shows me how to do it, that's how I operate. That might not be you. Maybe you're given instructions and you can figure it out. Or you're like, basically, my in-laws, and they don't need instructions. They just build things from scratch. And it works better than if you had instructions. That's just a fact. That's my father-in-law. That's my brother-in-law's. That's just how it is. But I'm the kind of guy, you got to show me, and you might have to show me again. Because you know what? If we don't let God finish his sentence, we can run wild with things. We can run real wild with it. And it means really bad news for us. Because think about it, for God so loved the world, period. If we didn't let him finish that sentence, let's be honest, we kind of need the other part of that sentence. Because that's when he takes his love and puts it into action, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That whole thing, we need that sentence to be finished. Cutting him off mid-sentence, first to the Jew, period. No, please finish that sentence, because I'm not Jewish. I need you to finish that sentence. All have fallen short, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, period. No, please finish that sentence. If we cut him off mid-sentence, and that's me using scripture, but think about it, when he's trying to do a work in your life, and we say, oh, got it, and go running off, I can't tell you how many times in my life, I can't think of an actual, an example at the moment, but I know this has happened to me more times than I can count, is I'm getting something from my dad or I'm grabbing something from somebody else and they're giving me something and they're yelling instructions to me and I shut the door and it was halfway through their sentence and then I get to what I'm doing and I have no idea what I'm doing. And then things end up a lot more broken or messed up or I end up hurt. And it's just like, well, letting the God finish his sentence. And how it comes from a place of relationship with him. Because the I know the word, I know, doesn't do much for us. If we look in John, let's go to chapter 8. There's another place in John that we're going to read too, but we'll start with chapter 8. Verse 1. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. They interrupted Jesus. Teaching, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then he stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. This is a reenactment. Sorry, this is not actually a reenactment. My revelation the other day mirrors this quite well. But the Pharisees and the religious teachers were the mentality that I had, that voice inside my head that said, you know the law, do it. And then Jesus came in and showed grace, showed love, showed mercy, showed that you can know the law, but do you know me? That voice that is inside of all of us, that is the law, and I know it, and I know it, I know the law, and I know what it says, and I'm going to do it. And we just try to carry it out. We try to carry it out on our own. Like, if Jesus wouldn't have been there, and the Pharisees and teachers just would have taken her. Now, I mean, when you look into the context of this verse and all this different stuff, she was set up and so on and so forth, and there were spies to catch her in the act and so on and so forth, because it was all set up to trap Jesus. But it's interesting how the enemy can use this holiness, this religious teachers, the Pharisee mindset that we can take on and use it to condemn. It doesn't always come across with condemnation. Sometimes it's that, but that's where I was. And I know it sounds crazy, Brock, you were a pastor for how long living in this mindset? I get it. I understand. It's so rudimentary and elementary. After saying rudimentary, it was hard to say the next one. I'm going to be honest with you. But that's why there's scripture verses that say, do what you did at first. This, you know, do the things. When I was first, you know, pursuing Naomi, what I would do back then, you know, to impress, she never noticed. We talk about that now all the time. I'd be trying to do something to impress her, and she just wasn't even looking. Well, that's great. I don't know how she ended up just sticking with me, but I guess there must have been something else I offered. And I'm saying that because we think what we try and impress God with, but there's something else we offer that He wants. That's relationship with you. That mindset of, oh man, I'm not talking about me personally. Sorry, I had to preface this right before I said it. I'm not talking about me personally. I just know people. I don't have any makeup on. I'm not wearing the nice clothes. See why I had to preface that? I don't have nice clothes on, but I need to run to the store quick and grab something. I hope I don't see anybody that knows me. That mindset, like, okay, God, I know, and part of that is because I don't want you to see this. I'll figure it out, and then I'm going to come to you. That mentality of coming to church where you got to have it together or something and be here. I think you got the wrong idea about this. Because there's two things wrong with that. One, you don't have to be put together to come to the Lord or to church. The second thing is, you can't put yourself together. We can't. Scripture's clear, and I'm gonna reference a scripture verse in a bit, but we can't do this on our own. It's not possible. It's why weakness is even left in some of us, is so that we do rely on Him. We need Him. It's important that we let Him finish the work and we don't try to put our own hand to it. That we don't just think, I know what Scripture says so I can live my life holy. The law didn't do anything here. Jesus did. His grace and mercy. Now, I'm not saying the law is useless, okay? I've preached other messages on this. I've put this disclaimer out there. Don't take me out of context and say something I'm not saying. I'm just saying what we use the law for, what we're using it for, and so on. I mean, it's, you know what? Not only that, the way we treat some people in this world, catching them in the act of adultery or other things, the way we talk about them, the way we treat them, as Christians in this church, we are Pharisees. I can't tell you over the last several years, I shouldn't say several, the last few years especially, the way you hear people talk about sinners and people lost in this world, you're no better than the Pharisees in this story. You're grabbing those people and saying, judge them. This is what the law is. You're going to hell. My verse of the day this morning when my phone buzzed and YouVersion gave me the verse of the day was, those that believe in the Lord will live like Jesus. And Jesus didn't live by holding people up and saying they deserve hell. He didn't say it about you either. Now, is that true? Yes. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when we finish that sentence, There's a grace and a mercy that comes and a justification by Jesus Christ. And that is what Jesus shares. And as we go back to John chapter 4, there's another story talking about there's religion versus relationship. And my mindset of I know what the word says, I got it, is nothing but religion. Trying to do it on my own is nothing but religion. And knowledge puffs up, love builds up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, it says that. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. And it's talking about, I think it's like food sacrificed to idols. But there's another place in Scripture where, can't remember the name of the person, had a vision of the sheet falling over the earth, the four corners falling of each sheet, and it had all these animals on it. Peter, I knew that. Bro, I gotta be honest with you. I was looking up a verse. I'm talking to Isaac for a moment. You guys can listen. When I was looking up stuff today, and I had a reference written down, Daniel. Dude, it took me 5 minutes to find Daniel. I'm just saying. I was like, and I refused to use the table of contents. I'm gonna find it. I'm being honest with you. I had the worst retention in Sunday school trying to learn the books of the Bible, and to this day, it's been a fight, okay? It's been a fight, all right? So, you know what? Email the district. They can pull my credentials. I worked here before I had them, so good luck. Okay, but this is the point. This is the point of this, is that this sheet came down and had all these animals on it, and he said, rise, kill, eat, bow hunt. I believe he used a Matthews. No, okay, sorry. I'm just joking around. But no, it's rise, kill, eat. And he said, but these, I've never eaten animals that were not okay with our laws and so on. He said, do not call unclean what I have called clean. See, he let God finish his sentence in that. If he would have just cut him off and said, no, I don't eat that stuff. This is what the law says. But then in relationship, when that vision came. So as we look in John chapter 4, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. I'm going to pause right there because we're going to read quite a bit of this chapter here. But the Samaritans, half-breeds, outcasts, because Samaritans, they worshiped differently, different place. We believe our place of worship is here. To the point where Jewish people despise them so much that they would rather cross the Jordan to travel than go through Samaria. They would rather, you know, walk through this river, which I should have looked up what animals lived in there, but I'll tell you what, I'm sure it's not a friendly thing. And they didn't actually have Matthews back then, despite popular belief, and or guns. So imagine going through a river, you're traveling, and I don't know, piranhas, alligators, crocodiles, I don't know what they got. Snakes? Oh, I hate snakes. I had a dream last night. I'm dead serious. Two nights ago. We don't need to get into it. It's not relevant. But there was a really big snake that ate me. Okay. But they're traveling. They would rather travel through the Jordan because they despise those people so much. They'd be traveling with babies and kids. They'd rather go through the Jordan than go that way. Where did he go? Through Samaria. It's almost like he knew. It's almost like he knew. But see, the Samaritans, one of the reasons why is they believed over time that the Torah and some of the laws and stuff that they did was corrupted with time. And it was maybe not relevant, or there were some things that were switched up, and they just didn't quite have a trust, and they didn't have this belief in it. That's what kind of separated them and what they believed and what the Jewish people believed and so on. And, you know, it sounds a lot like people today because so much time has passed. Well, the Bible and the translation you read, I don't know, it corrupted over time, and some of us are Samaritans in some ways. But it's a different message, no. But he was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. Continuing in 9, the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If only you knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Pause. You know, the Samaritan woman, obviously very smart. She knows the history. She knows the place of worship. She knows the lineage. She understands the significance of this well. And she even shows as it continues on, she shows knowledge even more. But we're going to continue. In verse 13, Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go and get your husband," Jesus told her. "I don't have a husband," the woman replied. Jesus said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you are living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." I feel like he laughed at the end of that. Like, if this was the modern day translation, there would have been an LOL. You know? "But, sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount G? Where are your ancestors worship? Where our ancestors worshipped?" Jesus replied, "Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed, it's here now, wherein true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." And then it continues on, and she has the revelation of this is the Messiah. This must be Christ. This must be... See, the discussion they have is a lot of religion. And Jesus came in and said, "If only you actually knew the God you worship." She obviously knew the laws. She knew the places of worship. She knew the customs. She knew this and that. But guess what? That didn't prevent her from having 5 husbands and living with a man who wasn't her husband at that moment. But once she met the Messiah, once she met Jesus, she ran forth and went on and telling her town about who she met and all these things. In our own life, the reason why we can cut God off in the middle of his sentence, why he doesn't get to finish his sentence, is because we can be stuck in our religion. I know what your word says, and so then we come up with our plan and how it should be done. That's why there was a division between these people, is we believe worship should be here, we believe worship should be here. Worship should not have an electric guitar, worship should have an electric guitar. There should be a smoke machine, no, there shouldn't be a smoke machine. There should be pews, there should be chairs. Too soon? Got to be honest. It doesn't matter. We worship him in spirit and in truth. Not pews and chairs. Not guitars and drums. In spirit and in truth. In relationship with him. Which is what he's come for. Not so you know what to do. But so you know him. That's what matters. And I'll tell you what. Because I couldn't remember a day where I hadn't lived my life with that perspective. Some of you older than me, you might even be further along, down the wrong way. So this revelation might take a little bit more to hit. It's the truth. When it comes to iron sharpens iron, we talked about this in our men's Bible study. In our group, it was the first week, we talked about iron sharpens iron, and man, it's super awesome to be the one sharpening somebody. It's very much like this. I'm sharpening you. You're below me. But how often do we allow ourselves to be sharpened? Because that's what iron sharpens iron. Do you get it? If iron is sharpening iron, that iron can sharpen your iron. Do you get it? It both ways? There's not room for I know better in that situation. That pride that comes up. Pride is just an attempt to cover up weakness. It's just an attempt to cover up weakness. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we talked about this at our CrossFit Bible study yesterday. This verse was the main verse of the day. Chapter 12, I believe it was this one. It was chapter 12, but I'm going to start in verse 8. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. That part's key. I'm begging for you to take this away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This revelation that I had, the reason why I wanted to cut him off and say, I know, is because I wanted to be able to do it. I have the strength. I'll figure it out. Then I'll present myself to you. There's this, I can do it. I've been a Christian for this long. I know how it's done. Since when does being a Christian for so long matter? Right? It's not about the years. It's about the mileage. What you actually did in that amount of time. Because I'll tell you what, I had a gym membership for 2 years. You can see where that's going. Okay, this was a couple years ago. I'm a little bit better now. All right? But I attended the gym a lot. I'll be honest, didn't make much difference. We know. And it's this religion aspect when God just wants to have a relationship. But in that relationship, it takes humility. And humility means I don't have it figured out. I don't have the plan. I'll tell you what, it's something I've learned trying to cultivate some ministries that are from scratch, right? Men's ministry. You know, could look better, look fancier, have a lot more things. Absolutely. You know, and this is not coming from a place of offense, so don't take it that way. But I'm just saying, you know, you could dress it up however you want. If God is not a priority to you, you're not going to show up. Because, you know, I've talked to some men before, and I'm quoting somebody else so nobody get upset with me in the room. But, you know, some people will say things like, men need to quit acting like girls. Well, I would argue maybe they need to start acting like them because the women have been carrying the church for far too long. That's the truth. Put on a women's conference? No problem. Women are going to show up. You want worship? Women are investing in it. They'll be the first ones to the altars. Saying men should quit acting like women. Man, the women have been carrying the church for how many years now? It's about time men step up. Be who you're called to be. Because to be honest, sitting back, looking like you know, like that what I was feeling and that thing, guess what? You're actually lost and weak. And there is no strength in that. The strength is in the humility of needing God, being at the altar, being at the prayer meeting, pursuing Him, leading your family, boasting in weakness. Because in that weakness, He makes me strong. You know how many young guys go to CCM and they need guys like you to start talking about the stuff you did wrong? You older men? It's amazing to me what I've heard from guys who are younger and they've maybe gone through a divorce or have a relationship problem and they're like, ay, ay, ay. And I was like, oh, maybe you should go talk to so-and-so because they were divorced years and years ago. They're like, what? They were? What? Why are you so ashamed of your past? You're supposed to utilize that as your testimony. You're supposed to utilize that as your testimony to help others. So that way the generation doesn't make the same mistake that you made. They can move forward. In Proverbs 28:13, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. This is important because in that action of, I know, I'm going to figure it out, we conceal our sin. But I'll tell you what, from personal experience in my own life, I've had moments of revival. I've had moments of revelation like I had weeks ago. But it always, I've had significant growing moments over the last few weeks. Some of you might think, really? Can't tell. I'm telling you, hey, 1% better every day matters, okay? But a growth season. But it always, every time in my life, whether I was young to the point where I am now, it always hits a point where, Brock, the sin in your life, you need to confess to somebody. You need to find somebody. You need to confess your sin. And that is what has always held back my potential. Because it's, well, I know how to take care of it. I know how to beat it. Well, then why haven't I yet? That's what I should ask myself. But because I'm holding my own self accountable, I don't ask myself that question. We're not meant to be isolated. We're meant to be together in this place, showing grace and mercy, allowing people to confess their sin without judgment and so on, but also concealing your sin of the past. If you've been forgiven and you've been over it, then utilize that. Utilize that. Share it with somebody so they don't fall in the same trap. It's walking through the woods, and I trip over something, and I got my nephew behind me. Hey, watch your step. I'm not going to just let him fall. I mean, become no! If it was Gobes, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But watch your step or watch your head or look out. But the longer we live in this religion and we refuse to have a relationship with God, the longer we're just going to be lost. The longer we're going to believe that we're holy and be lost. We got to have this revelation of this is a call to relationship. And we need to quit cutting God off and saying, I know, I know, I know. And we got to have relationship with Him. We got to have relationship and allow him to finish the sentence. I don't know what sentence he's got to finish for you. I shared with you my testimony. He had to tell me that, Brock, quit trying to beat your sin. Quit trying to beat all these obstacles in life on your own. Let me love you. And I've seen some of the most growth over the last 3 weeks than I've seen in years. Like I said, it seems very beginner. Well, it's because I'm still a beginner. That's who I am. So I encourage you, find time today. Let this be a moment of homework. I'm going to be closing up here. Let this be a moment to share with you some homework. Take some time today and get to that place with God through your prayers and through worship. But take a moment and let him finish the sentence. Don't just read your wish list to him. Don't just spend all your time singing the worship song, but allow him to speak to you and finish the sentence so that he can finish the work in your life, in who you are. Because we're not done. Scripture tells us to complete the work once Jesus Christ comes again. We're still being worked on. To be honest, that phrase of, I know better. To be honest, we don't. We have this knowledge that puffs us up and makes us think that we're safe, and it insulates us from God actually getting his hands on us and molding us, shaping us, helping us. So find time today. Before you say, well, nobody's going to check up on my homework. You're right. Nobody is, but this Wednesday night, I gave homework. We sang the song Waymaker, Miracle Worker. And I said, tomorrow, somebody, multiple people, I said, text them, hey, God's a Waymaker, Miracle Worker. And encourage them with that. And I got a text from somebody who said that was there, and that meant a lot to me that day. And then, you know what? I went through the whole day and I was like, oh my goodness, I almost forgot. What in the world am I doing? I got so wrapped up with everything else that I knew I had to do instead of, you know, hey, relationship with God. And you know what? I texted multiple people, but I received a call from somebody and I was talking to them and they said, you know what? That day, dude, when you texted me that, I was sitting there. And that day, I hadn't done this in a while, but I bought a bag of weed. And they said, man, I was sitting there debating throwing it away or smoking it. And he said, and then your text came through. I threw it away. So before you say, the homework's not really important. Oh, it is. It is. So I'm telling you, today, take time, find time. There's unlimited distractions. The enemy will do everything it can to distract you and keep you from letting God finish that sentence. And that sentence could be like mine. You need to be loved. You need to be broken of a religious spirit. Or maybe that sentence is, hey, I've been calling you to missions. When are you going to do it? I've been calling you to serve in this area of ministry. Do it. I've been calling you to write a book. I've been calling you to start a YouTube channel, start a podcast. If you don't know what those are, and the Lord's telling you, I'll help you out. And I'll tell you what, it is good to have confirmation on things, especially things that, you know, like missions where it would be like, I have to uproot my entire life. But you know what? If there's something he's been calling you, talking to you, and you've been cutting him off, and then he finally finishes that sentence, and you're like, yep, that was what I was afraid of. You don't need confirmation. You just need courage. So I shared with you this morning scripture verses on relationship with God, stories that speak to relationship with God over religion. That we can know things all we want, but we need to know God and have relationship with Him for it, for us to grow and to change. I shared that with you because the testimony I had, that was a lot of things God was sharing with me. And I feel the longer you become a Christian, the easier it is to fall into that trap of, I know, I'm going to do it on my own. But you can't. You're fighting a losing battle on that one. So take that humility. But I'm telling you something. What God speaks to you and finishes that sentence, it might not be exactly with what I shared with you. I'm sharing with you what's speaking to me and what I feel like is definitely for some of us in this room. I didn't say that with like people in mind. I'm just saying. Don't think, oh, is he talking about me? Is he judging me? No. So if you will, you could stand. I'm going to pray. But I'm telling you, make it a priority. Let God finish that sentence. Think of all the people, all the stories, people in the Bible that heard from God and went on to carry something out. If they would have cut them off, how would that story have looked? Some of you, and I'm not, I said this on Wednesday, I don't like to be labeled a prosperity preacher. But I'll tell you what, some of you have a greater calling than you even know. You have a greater destiny and life out in front of you than you even know. But because you've been concealing your sin, you've been saying, I know. And you've been concealing your sin. Conceal your sin, you will not prosper. But confess it and turn from it. Oh, it'll be good. Don't limit your potential. Let God finish that sentence and start going to Him with that. Let Him love you.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.